Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390. My name is Bruce Dickey. Appreciate you tuning in today. I got a guest across the way. Haven't seen him in a long time, probably over a year or near that. It's been a while since he's been on the show, and I must admit, I feel like I'm very much unprepared for his appearance here because I don't have a gigantic box of donuts. And I don't have a gigantic box of Twinkies.
Thank God you don't.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's back in the studio for the first time ever. First time in years, months, days. When's the last time you were here, Derek?
Whew, you're talking maybe about a year, maybe. It's been quite some time here, Bruce. Always a pleasure being with you here on your radio show.
Friend of the station and friend of those who have no friend, Mr. Derek Dunn. Yeah. Appreciate Derek coming back and sitting in today. We're just going to – we always like to occasionally, whenever folks have gone on and taken off, and always like to reacquaint ourselves with them from time to time.
Yeah.
Derek took off. Where did you go? You took a job up in – Taylorville for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, I was the news and sports reporter at Miller Media Group in Taylorville. So I was like a hybrid of you and Lynn Wells a little bit.
That's bad. You don't want to be that.
No. Well, that was kind of a scary hybrid a little bit. So
your job duties. I see. See what you're saying.
But that's what I was doing. So I would gather and get the news on the air, post it on the website, kind of like what Lynn does here.
Yeah.
And also I would follow sports. So I announced play-by-play for football and color for basketball. So
what kind of station is that up there? What's their?
There's a cluster of them. There's so many of them. You have News Talk at WTIM. You have Groovy 97.3, which they play like oldies. You
were on all of them?
I was like, there's like basically 6-7 radio stations.
Oh, okay.
So it's a cluster of them. So you have like a News Talk station like AM 1390 is. You have Groovy 97.3, not to be confused with, you know, the station down at Carmine, but because it's so many miles away. Then you have, you have a 104.1, which is New Country, WMKR, which is Genuine Country, where they play like Yesterday's Country with Today. Is kind of like WOKZ.
Like classic country?
Yeah, classic country and some country, Today's Country mixed in. There's also 98.3 WSVZ.
Did the ball games?
Well, you would have for Taylorville sports, it would be on News Talk and WTIM, though there was a few occasions, I think two or three occasions, where I had to cover Central A&M football.
Oh, really?
So that was on MKR on 94.3.
Tell me about Central A&M football. Those guys are good.
Well, they have a new coach.
Have been anyway.
Well, they were good. They just had a new coach come in, I think like 2 years ago. So they're trying to get that program back up on the map. And from what I saw, they have some good pieces. But, of course, you have some seniors that graduate. You have those that played a vital role in what they did, whether they started on the offensive or defensive side of the ball, or sometimes they play both ways. And
sure.
I think they're trying to get that program back up on the map, whereas for Taylorville, they had a successful season. They went all the way to the quarterfinals in class 4A, I think. Yeah, I was going to say 5A, but that's where they were at, I think, last year or something like that. So they got dropped down a class, but went to the quarterfinals. And also, Pena is in the same county as Christian County is. They went to the quarterfinals as well.
Did you guys cover them too?
No, we covered Taylorville on TIM. We covered Shelbyville on SVZ, and then we covered A&M on MKR. So
you didn't cover Pena?
No, we didn't.
All right, tell me about the trips through the playoffs. Who'd they beat?
Well,
blowouts.
The first round, Taylorville took on Mount Zion and beat them at home. And then the second game, they actually hosted Heron.
I was going to say, I thought they played some folks from down this direction, too.
Yeah, they took on Heron, which Heron has a really good football team, that good football tradition. They beat them at home. And then their third game, which was their quarterfinals game on the road, they went down to Breeze Central and lost to them.
What Breeze ended up doing? Who ended up getting I'm trying to remember who ended up getting to the Class 4A.
I think
Rochester usually gets there.
But Rochester got beat that same day by Belleville Altoff.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And Belleville Altoff beat Rochester, and I think it was Belleville Altoff versus Breeze Central, and I think Altoff went all the way or something like that.
Really? Now that you've been out, of course, you lived in college for two or three years.
Yeah.
Now that you've been out of the area – Taylorville doesn't count as being in the area. How far drive is Taylorville?
About 2.5 hours.
What's the best way, best route?
You'll have to take 45 north up to Effingham.
Reason I ask is because it seems when you're going to Springfield, there are like three different ways you can go. Mm-hmm. And it takes 3 hours either. Any way you choose, you're looking at 3 hours. Is Taylorville the same kind of way?
It's kind of like the same kind of way. I mean, it's like you, there's really no interstate to get to Taylorville. You're going to have to travel on highway. So you take 45 north to Effingham, take 33, Highway 33, when you're in Effingham. Okay, you take that, then you go, let's see.
Go to Beecher City?
You go through Beecher City, you hit Route 128, which is north-southbound, take it to the north, and then you'll come across Highway 16.
You go to Pena?
Go to Pena, which cuts through, you know, Mattoon, Charleston. Well, that same highway cuts through Pena, and I believe it is the first stoplight when you get to Pena that you make a right, and then Route 29 begins.
You believe? Have you been there?
I've been that way many times. I could probably do it in my sleep, probably.
I bet you can. I was going to say, how often did you make it back home? You've got a bunch of friends down here. Were you able to find some folks to hang out with up in Taylorville?
A few folks, at least. But like I said, I would come home like on the weekends. So like I would work Saturday mornings from like 8 o'clock to about 11, and then I would kind of jet on down here for the weekend, and I'd stay here till maybe Sunday afternoon, because you gotta remember though too,
you are such a mama's boy, aren't you? You love your mom and dad.
I guess so. Plus, I love my friends and family here too, so
yeah. I'm just teasing.
Love them all dearly, but anyway, yeah, I mean, that's what I would do. I come home on the weekends and chill and come back up there.
Tell me a little bit about, you said you have both the news side of the job and the sports side of the job.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite of the two? Which, I mean, each of them offer you different, each of them have different facets of what you have to do. What was your favorite of the two?
It's kind of tough to say. I think for news, it's kind of like you got to be on top of things. It's like a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now, that means you have to stay on top of like the local, the state, national, though a lot of the stories are mainly local around here, though there was some state stories as well.
How long of a broadcast were you having to put together?
It was, for 5 o'clock, it was 13 minutes, and then there was 3-minute news update. So it's like these news headlines I see right here, which I remember doing when I was working here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like you have headlines 1 and 2 in OKZ, and then you have like, you know, kind of like AM and FM would have the news headlines as well. So you're talking about a 3-minute newscast. It's kind of like similar to these news headlines, and then you'd have like a 15-minute newscast for 5 o'clock. So it was like 5:10. Of course, it would be recorded along with a 2-minute enhanced weather for the 5 o'clock hour. So there were several recordings that I had to do. It was like three local newscast recordings, and then like you'd have the big one, obviously, like during the 5 o'clock hour, along with your weather forecast.
You're getting deeper into the minutia than I was looking. Which one did you prefer?
Sports always excited me, actually. It seems like I leaned more towards where there seemed like it was a lot more action, a lot more excitement, it seemed like to me. But news, on the other hand, it's like you get to go out in the community and you meet people. Like
always something new?
Always something new. You know, community leaders, business owners. Like I would attend like ribbon cuttings, for example. I would attend events and cover them. For example, the Greater Taylorville Chamber of Commerce has a business after hours event, which I covered. And it was where there would be a business in town, let's say like Danzig Insurance, like they hosted one.
The Chamber used to do that here years ago.
And they said they would like the Danzig Insurance would be like, let's say like the building where they would have the business after hours event at, and the Chamber would bring like food and stuff like that. It's like a way of networking.
Yay. Lots of food.
Oh, yeah. I love food. Who doesn't?
Okay. Now, I mentioned it earlier, and I just can't believe that you've matured and grown so much that you won't even do any eating challenges anymore.
Oh, no. I told you on the phone yesterday, Bruce. I just never again. You know,
that's never again.
Never again.
Now, why? Is it your constitution wasn't prepared for the last few challenges?
It was that, and also my stomach didn't cooperate.
Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah. Fair enough, you win on that one. But it was pretty awful, because I would come home and be like, never again, never again. I was a little bit sick.
Now, Derek, you had fun doing it, though, didn't you?
I had fun, but at the same time, I suffered the consequences of eating too much.
Well, you see, there's a price to pay for everything, though, Derek.
That's true.
I'm going to get you talked into doing one again. No, you know no. I'm going to.
No.
We've got Matt Kenny brought all kinds of shish kebabs out there.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not going to let you have those.
Oh, I already had one. I already had one.
Not going to let you do that in an eating contest. No. But, I mean, at some point, I'm going to get you to do an eating contest.
All right, fine then.
Harry says, boy, you're difficult. You're so tough.
I am tough. I'm tough as nails, Bruce.
I appreciate that. I'm talking to Derek Dunn here, the former WFIW employee, and we're just catching up on stuff. We're going to talk about sports and all kinds. Also, he's interviewed the governor two or three times, and I want to ask him about that. Sure. We'll talk about that when we return here on The Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Back in a bit. Derek's singing.
Oh, I am live there. That's right. Never mind.
Now, what is your go-to karaoke song? You got to have one, Derek. Everybody's got a go-to karaoke song. A lot of folks, probably with Prince dying, it's going to make people think of different Prince songs that they would karaoke. Little Red Corvette. If I was going to be doing a Prince song, it'd be Little Red Corvette. But that's me.
I would say, for Prince-wise, it'd be 1999.
Yeah.
Also, there was Raspberry Beret. I'm going to lean more towards 1999. As for my go-to karaoke song, Steve Miller Band, Jet Airliner.
Jet Airliner, huh? No yeah. kidding. When's the last time you went karaoke?
Do
people throw money at you when you sing Jet Airliner at the karaoke bar?
I wish, or if a woman was to throw like a bouquet of roses at me or something
go.
Like that.
There you go.
Actually, that was up in Taylorville at the Palomino Club. On Friday nights, they had karaoke there.
Yeah?
And it started at 9 o'clock. So I did some karaoke, did some country as well.
Wonderful.
So,
yeah. What's your country go-to? If you're going to do Jet Airliner as your rock song, you got to have a country go-to.
There's a lot of country songs, Bruce. Probably the one artist that stood out to me is David Lee Murphy. Heron, Illinois native.
Yeah.
He had Dust on the Bottle, also Party Crowd, and some other hits. So
you're ready to go. You're whatever place you get dragged to, you're ready to go for your karaoke then, aren't you?
I'm ready.
How about that? That's wonderful. I've got Derek Dunn in here, former WFIW employee and former Taylorville employee. He's moved back down. What are you doing down here right now? You're looking for a job, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I just moved back to town and stuff like that. I'm just kind of...
Want to be closer to the families and friends.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, it just kind of got homesick, you know. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, your friends and family are down here, whereas up north I felt like I was like a tourist in a foreign land when I first moved up there because I didn't know hardly anyone, you know.
Sure.
So, but it's kind of like your hometown has its deepest roots, I think, because if you've been down here for so long, so many years, you have memories of your hometown. You have memories of what happened, the good and the bad, and maybe even the flat out ugly. But anyway.
Yeah, you've had that too.
Yeah. So,
I mean, we were going to talk about that today as well. You were for, what was it? What was it, 14 years ago?
14,
the tornado?
Yeah, 14 years ago, the an F3 tornado that was deadly, it did kill a person.
Yeah.
Rampage through Wayne County. It was yesterday, 14 years. I was in seventh
grade.
Can
you believe that's been 14 years?
I was in seventh grade when it happened. So I was at home at time when it hit.
Where were you? Where were you at home? What were you doing? What were you doing whenever? Now, we're talking, of course, ladies and gentlemen, about the I guess they call it the Sims tornado. What do you call that tornado? The Sims Southern Fairfield, the Sims Tavern tornado.
I guess, or the Wayne County tornado. I don't know. I was at home along with my parents when it hit.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad just woke up from his nap, and this was like right before 4 o'clock. And I remember I had the Weather Channel on because I saw some nasty-looking storms earlier that afternoon. Didn't really pay much attention to it.
At the time, at that age, you were like 13 years old, 12 years old.
12, yeah.
Were you paying attention to the weather at that time, too?
Not really, because it was like a normal day. It was sunshine, blue skies.
Gorgeous Sunday afternoon. You'd probably been out playing wiffle ball or something, right?
Maybe basketball a little bit. Okay. But I remember when the Weather Channel would have like the beeps first, and then they would have like the National Weather Service in Paducah has issued this like tornado warning, severe thunderstorm warning.
Right.
That raises a red flag right there, and that's what happened when it came across the TV shortly after my dad woke up from his nap. So I showed it to him, and then they recently installed the new storm sirens that I recall just maybe weeks prior to the event here in town, and they were relatively new. So you heard the sirens go off, too, and that raises another red flag. I thought, okay, this is getting pretty serious here.
Yeah.
So what happened was we live in a double-wide trailer, and tornadoes and double-wides, trailer homes, they don't mix. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. So what
Well, they do, but bad things happen.
Bad things do happen, but when it comes to damage-wise and everything. So we took shelter in our garage.
Got a pole barn? You had a pole barn garage, didn't you?
No, it wasn't a pole barn garage. It was like a one-car garage.
Okay.
So Dad, a few days prior to the event, he built a workbench. So we took cover underneath the workbench, and he put overalls over me as like some sort of protection. He was right on top of me, and then Mom was right behind us. And survivors say that a tornado sounds like a freight train. Well, by God, this one did.
Did it really?
It sounded like a freight train, like a tremendous roar, and it's a sound you'll never forget.
So you never even saw it, did you?
I never saw it because we were in our shelter, but we knew something was going on outside when we heard the sound.
Right.
And I remember as soon as it came, it left. And I remember we got up out underneath the workbench, opened the door, and I remember looking over to my left at first. I had I still have it to this day. I had like a basketball goal. It's like the kind you fill up with water, and that water acts as like a weight
on the bottom. Yeah.
And the tornado, the winds from it blew that basketball goal backwards. That thing was filled with water. And it blew it backwards. And then
bent it?
It didn't bend it.
Or blew it over.
It just blew it over backwards. Usually if it's like losing water.
It's not supposed to go that direction.
No. And no, it was like, okay.
Wait a second. There's an indicator, isn't it?
But the scariest sight of my life, when I looked over to my right, my next door neighbor had a Ford station wagon in the living room of his own home.
That's not where he parked it.
No.
Wow.
The tornado basically picked it up and threw it into a living room of his home. So that was probably the scariest side of my life because I thought, oh, my God, there could be people in there could be injured and all that.
Yeah, you never know.
And so they had some workers come by, check out the scene. Apparently, my next-door neighbors weren't home at the time when it hit.
Thank heavens.
And because otherwise, that could have been a catastrophe right there. But the one thing I remember the most about the tornado was how there was people just driving down Southwest 7th Street, and they were just looking at the
gawkers?
Damage. Yeah, gawkers. There was a lot of them. And then we got word Broadway Street got hit the hardest in town.
Sure.
And someone told us it was like a war zone.
I was going to say, that's probably, what, about a block south of where you are? Broadway block or two, maybe?
Actually, more to the east.
Because I know it's east, but I'm thinking as the as the crow flies, if you looked straight to your east, where you would hit like 6th Street would be probably about a block north of Broadway, you think?
I would say so. It's like just directly to the east of us, like walking distance.
Right.
Because you had those apartments on 6th Street, those low-income apartments. So the tornado took on that easterly track. But that's what we were told. And then I remember, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Jason Merbarger, who worked for the for city police at the time.
Uh-huh.
He said another one was coming, another tornado that I recall.
Oh, really?
And so
I think Glenn Wells chased that second one.
Okay, well, I was going to say that tornado did. It was only like rotation, so it never really did touch the ground. But still, it caused enough panic and chaos where everybody was running all in different directions.
I was going to say at that point, where were you going to go? Did you go back under the table?
We went underneath the workbench again to take cover for the second one, though it didn't materialize because this one, the rotation was further to the south, right where Spike's subdivision is.
Yeah.
So it was like to the south of us by about maybe a mile and a half. But I'm just saying,
harrowing.
Yeah, that day I'll never forget as long as I live, and it really changed my life. It changed other people's lives. The impact, you still never will forget the impact of that storm, and it changed the county forever.
Is it amazing to you that it's been 14 years?
It doesn't seem like it, because I remember the day vividly, as if it was
like
yesterday. Yeah.
And wow.
It's just an experience I'll never forget. Just the damage, the H.B. Williamson building got destroyed. The insulation was everywhere from it.
The tavern, Sims Tavern got destroyed. The trees, you can still see the trees torn up that direction.
Yeah, you still can. It's unbelievable storm. It was an F3. In fact, yesterday on Twitter, I tweeted out to Wayne Hart, who is the meteorologist over there, WEHT and WTVW. He and I banter around on Twitter quite a bit. And
he answered you.
Yeah, he answered me. And along with the National Weather Service in Paducah, I said 14 years ago, yesterday was when the F3 tornado rampaged through Wayne County. It wasn't long till about maybe a couple hours later, the National Weather Service in Paducah, through their Twitter, had a summary of that tornado.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so I was the one who kind of started up on Twitter saying...
You reminded them.
I reminded them, and it wasn't too long after that they started chipping in, saying, like, I remember, like, Wayne Hart said, this happened during, like, their Easter Seals telethon. It was on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
So it was that, and then National Weather Service in Paducah, you know, they did a little summary of it, so... but that tornado, just that one event.
People might think you're a rabble rouser, Derek. You got everybody talking.
I guess so. But
just an amazing day, wasn't it?
Oh, it's just a day that you'll never forget, because I remember school was on Monday the next day.
Did you go?
I did go to school, yes. And I remember I was riding the school bus at the time.
Uh-huh.
And when I got off at Center Street, there was one of my classmates ran up to me, gave me a hug, and she thought I had died.
Really?
So, yeah, she was crying. She thought I died.
Oh, my
goodness. Perished in a tornado. So I never will forget that moment.
Yeah.
I never will forget that day.
Yeah.
A lot of chaos. We were able to recover, obviously, rebuild. But
sure.
But it's just, you still think about the impact that storm had on your life. And it's kind of like 9/11, for example. You know, like, where were you when the planes hit the towers?
Right.
It's like the same way with a tornado. Where were you when the Wayne County tornado rampaged through?
Well, the thing is, that was only about 8 months later.
Yeah.
That tornado would have been... It was 2002, so it would have been about, fewer than 8 months later. Harrowing story. I'm talking with Derek Dunn here. We're going to talk. I had promised folks I was going to get your governor story, and we'll get that. We'll get that along with talking a little bit of sports here on the Bruce Dickey Show when we return after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. It's a 9:43 pleasant morning, 60 degrees on the way up to 71. Sunny day right now. Hopefully the sun comes out and dries out that softball field. Maybe the Bobcats will get to play their doubleheader schedule for you. Have you seen the Bobcats play yet?
I have not, but I think this is wonderful for the community college here in town to have a softball team, and I think baseball team as well.
Baseball's coming. Yeah. They had volleyball last fall.
Yeah.
It's you need to get out there and watch the softball. The girls, they play very hard, and they play a pretty good brand of softball. They're in the Division 23, Region 23, I believe.
Or was it 24? I thought it was Region 24 for the because I think it's the same conference that Wabash Valley's in, which I remember covering Wabash Valley College softball and watching it. That's really fun to watch. It goes right on along, really. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
They rebuilt their field out there. You haven't been out there to see Southwest Park, have you?
I have not yet. I know there was a field dedication ceremony last week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, last Friday.
And this is a great thing for the college. To be involved in athletics, you learn things outside the classroom.
Plus, you get more students.
You get more students as well. You know, Frontier's growing. You're having these two dorm buildings being built on the north side. And I like to see Frontier Community College to continue growing, getting more involved in the community. I think it's wonderful.
You're an alum, aren't you? Or did you graduate from Wabash?
I graduated from Wabash.
Okay.
But to see your community college grow in town is, I think, a positive sign indeed. They're kind of looking ahead to the future.
Talking with Derek Dunn here, former Taylorville resident, of course a Fairfield native, former employee here at the WFIW and TOC. And Derek, tell me, in your travels, you've been up to Taylorville for a year or more, or a little bit less than a year. You got to interview the governor. Did you tell him to shape up and get that whole budget thing going?
Well, I ran into the governor a few times when I was covering news up there. The first time I think I ran into him was, I want to say, if I'm not mistaken, it was back when late December there was a heavy rain. It rained about maybe 8-9 inches up there that way.
Oh, yeah, down here they had like 4 or 5, and over there between St. Louis and Springfield, that's where you had real dangerous things.
Well, you had the flooding in Christian County in the community of Kincaid, and the flooding there, it caused 4 deaths in Edinburgh, a couple drowned, and then 2 teenagers from Taylorville High School perished as well. And that was a sad week indeed. In fact, I was covering the flooding and also covering a basketball tournament that same week. So
that makes it kind of tough.
It makes it pretty tough. It was a busy week for me and hectic at that. But the governor came over to Kincaid, and of course, as you may have heard, he said, this is like a disaster area. You know, so there were some counties.
He declared it?
He declared it a disaster area. So, but this really, it needs to be FEMA's right here, because the state doesn't really have the deepest pockets as FEMA does.
Right.
So so they were hoping that the federal government can say, okay, all these counties will receive assistance and all that. Well, it was denied.
Really? I think then the state has to do it first, right?
Right.
And then the national government, the federal government has the opportunity to come in, and they provide the cash.
Right. And see, there's an $18 million threshold for the total amount of damages, and I think it was $15 million, so they fell $3 million short of that threshold.
Oh, really? I'm surprised they didn't have more damage than that.
Well, apparently, the last time I heard, they actually found some new damages. Now, the old damages, you know, like let's say like the homes that were impacted by Kincaid, those that are still empty to this day, they've already accounted for that, but it's like tacking on the newer damages that were being assessed. So right now at this time, they still haven't been able. They talked about appealing to denial, obviously, and having another go at it. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen there on that end. But the governor.
I thought you interviewed him.
I did. Yes. He was there. But I interviewed him at the Taylorville Memorial Hospital and the Janice Hopper Memorial Auditorium when the Christian County Farm Bureau hosted one of their meetings that they have. It's like one of their biggest meetings of the year where the members would come out for like a dinner, and then they would have like a special guest speaker, and Governor Rauner was that special guest speaker.
Did you get a chance to sit down with him and spend a lot of time, or was it one of those where you're holding the microphone or the recorder just back and forth like a 20-second thing?
Well, it was actually after that, after he spoke, is when I talked to him about the state budget. And I asked him, Governor, you know, there's people here. We're seeing the state budget impasse continue on. It's been several months since one has been passed. And he said, well, we should have passed one, I think like in May is what he told me, if I'm not mistaken, by my count. But he said, we should have passed it last year.
Yeah.
Here we are in 9 months here without a budget still. And you have to come up, the state also has to come up with a fiscal year 17 budget as well, because that's right there on the heels.
Yeah, like next month.
Yeah. So really, you got two budgets here you're going to have to pass in a short amount of time, actually.
So what he said, did he foresee it happening, or what's the prognosis from Governor Rauner?
Well, he told me when I interviewed him last.
And that was when?
That was back, I think, I want to say probably maybe December, I think.
Okay.
He talked about that it was going to be passed in January. So
wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking. That's what he's hoping for, but now we're still without a budget here, and we're seeing the effects of it. We're seeing.
Well, we had on the news today with the state parks closing.
Yeah,
down.
You know, the Ramsey State Recreational Area and Horseshoe Lake State Park. It's not just the state parks, but also the community colleges. Eastern Illinois University, you know, my alma mater.
Laying off folks.
Yeah, laying off folks. You know, they laid off, I think, like nearly 200 workers one time. They laid off several more. It's happening, Bruce. We're seeing the effects here without a state budget everywhere you look.
So, Derek, does Bruce Rauner drive the van?
I have no idea what he drives. I know that he had some.
You know, that was what his big campaign thing was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, drove he still had the van that he had like for the last 20 years.
Well, I was going to say he also had, you know, agents with him for protection and all that. But I think it's the way he drove up in, or a car or something like that. But I've met him a few times and everything like that. He even toured at Memorial Elementary in Taylorville for like National Read a Book Days I was telling you about earlier, where he encouraged your kids to keep on reading. Like, he kind of toured the school and all that.
And you said he came to a basketball game.
He came to a basketball game. It was the Class 3A Taylorville Sectional. It was that night when Springfield Southeast defeated Champaign Central. And he sat directly right behind me. And I knew he was there because I saw him walk over the scorer's table, shake hands, and someone hollered out, "Pass the budget," when he was walking, across the scorer's
probably
table.
Probably just waves.
Yeah, probably waves. But yeah. But he sat right behind me. I took a photo of him, and I posted on Facebook and said, "Governor Bruce Rauner is sitting right behind me at the Taylorville sectional."
So, okay, I got to ask, is the governor a you've been doing basketball for several years now.
Yeah.
And you can tell when a fan knows what they're talking about and when a fan doesn't know what they're talking about. Does Governor Rauner know what he's talking about as a fan? Is he a loud fan? Is he a jerk fan? What kind of fan? What kind of basketball fan is the governor?
When I mainly had my eyes focused on the action because he was there, I would say maybe 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, and then he took off.
So he's a bad fan.
I would say he was like supportive here. You know, he was kind of quiet behind me. Like, I didn't hear him really root or holler, unless if he was and I didn't notice it. But he sat directly right behind me, I swear, because I have a photo to prove it.
So he's a bad fan.
I don't know what kind of fan he is. I have no idea.
He's leaving early.
Oh, okay. He did leave early, and I wonder if it was because of the Citizens for Education in Taylorville, which are part of the Funding Illinois Future Coalition. I wonder if it's because they brought him in. I'm not for sure exactly, but I'm still kind of wondering if he was there because of that. I'm not for sure exactly, but he was there. He was like right behind me. So.
Wonderful. Okay, how are your Cardinals going to do this year? They've kind of gotten they're three or four games behind the Cubs now. Derek, are they going to be able to get back in it and get the division again, or? The Cubs a juggernaut?
Well, people have been saying already, look, we're still in the first month of Major League Baseball, the regular season. Some people are writing off that the Cubs are going to win the World Series. Well, it's too early to tell at this point. And it's like you can get excited about your team if you want to, but there's still plenty of season to go here. We just got in the way. And for the Cardinals, I noticed that Adam Wainwright is pitching tonight. He's got an ERA of like over 8.
Waino's not having a very good start, is he?
No, he's not. And I like Carlos Martinez. I think he pitched a really good game. And then Jaime Garcia. I mean, he pitched that one hitter last week. So when he's locked in, he's healthy. He's pretty much a beast on the mound. But for the Cardinals, they really – it's still early, but I think there's some adjustments that need to be made. Of course, I think they're missing Johnny Peralta, shortstop, because Diaz – he's a good hitter, but his glove is in question a little bit right now because he's committed some errors and all that, too. I've kind of hurt the Cardinals. I'm excited about Hazel Baker. That guy has just been hitting.
Hazel Baker came out of nowhere, didn't
he? Yeah, he came out of nowhere. He's like, who's this master man? And all of a sudden, he's like hitting the ball left and right and everywhere. And someone I know, a source told me that he's the guy to watch out for.
A source told you?
Yes.
All right, you're going to have to divulge.
Okay, it was that Randy Olson. So when he was over in Florida, he said Hazel Baker is the guy to keep an eye on, to watch out for.
See, Olson would know. I mean, he was down there for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, and so anyway, I'm just saying, like, Hazel Baker's really come on. Also, Tommy Pham, I like him too. But I'm pretty excited about Matt Carpenter. He's probably my favorite player to watch thus far.
Really?
Yeah, I think he does a great job at that leadoff spot.
I'm going to say you're wearing a Cardinal shirt right now. You got a jersey number
on
the back.
I do. It's actually Lance Berkman when he played.
I hadn't seen the back of it. Yeah. You're a Berkman guy.
Yeah, Berkman. Of course, he was a killer for the Astros when the Cardinals would take him off.
Sure.
But whenever St. Louis acquired him prior to the 2011 season, it was like, well, this guy's like 35 years old. Let's see what he has in the tank. And, boy, he had a spectacular year. And he was, in fact, you know, people go back to that World Series whenever the Cardinals won in extra innings against the Texas Rangers.
In 11, game 6.
Yeah, and that's I remember board hopping that one when I was here. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I was board hopping that one. I remember I ran outside after the game and screamed my lungs out in the parking lot. It was like that exciting of a game. But Lance Berkman was probably the best hitter during that World Series run. But I tell you what, David Freese of that home run to center field, you'll never forget that moment.
All right, now words of wisdom from Derek Dunn. You got to give me a prediction. The Cardinals going to be able to catch the Cubs? Are they going to do it? You got to give me a prediction.
I think they will, but the Cubs really don't have a lot of depth, I noticed, of what I've heard. When it comes to, like, I think it depends on the health of their players. Obviously, injuries could happen. They're part of the game. But, you know, let's say, like, a Rizzo goes down. Let's say if a Bryant goes down. Let's say, like, you know, Jake Arrieta, who pitched that no-hitter last night.
Yeah.
Let's say if he had an injury, then, boy, if you're a Cubs fan, you're like, oh, boy, this is not good.
Are either of these two teams good enough to win the National League and get in the World Series? Good enough to beat the Mets.
Well, there's other good teams out there, you know. Mets have great pitching. And then Kansas City, look what happened. They won it last year, you know. So
Washington's got great hitting.
They got Harper. And I tell you what, it's tough. I mean, it's tough to call it early at this point.
All right, well, I don't have you a lot more time here this morning. You watched the Blues too, right?
Yes, I did.
Can St. Louis hold on to that lead and beat the Blackhawks? What is your prediction right now in the Blackhawks-Blues series? 2 games to go.
Yeah.
Well,
Chicago won last night due to Patrick Kane scoring on that goal in the second overtime period. I think the Blues can win it, but I tell you what, though, it's tough to win up there in Chicago because that's where they're going to be at Saturday night. But they did get a win up there, though, so you kind of have some momentum going. But Vladimir Tarasenko, he needs to he played 21 minutes on the ice last night, only had 4 shot attempts at the goal.
Oh, really?
And he's been like the hot hand.
Did you stay up late to watch that last night?
I did. I watched all of it.
Good for you.
I watched. Well,
you knew you were coming in here today, and you were able to stay up for that.
Yeah, and I stayed up for it until I fell asleep on the recliner. So anyway, I think for the Blues, I hope that they win it because look, the Blackhawks are defending Stanley Cup champions. So if you can knock off Chicago and you move on to the next round, that would really be an amazing highlight of the season because this Blues team is like the Cardinals. They just don't quit. I mean, we've seen it before with the Cardinals, how they were able to rally back. Same way with the Blues last night.
The Blues were behind 2 goals last night.
Yeah,
right?
3-1, and they tied it up in the third quarter. And I thought the Blues were the aggressor from that third period on.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they didn't get the game-winning goal in that overtime. In those two
so
overtime
predict
sessions.
It for me. You're going to give me a prediction. I want a Blues-Blackhawks prediction.
I support the Blues. I'm going with the Blues.
He's going with the Blues, ladies and gentlemen.
I got to support them. I have friends who are Blackhawks fans, so I hope that they're
you
disappointed.
You tell them to go straight to jump in a lake. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, jump off a plane and make sure you have a parachute when you're coming down. But I hope the Blues win it because, look, they've had great regular seasons. Let's see if they can capitalize on the postseason, get a win here, and move on to the next round.
Great, great plan. Derek, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. Got another guest coming on Monday. Have a great weekend.